Hey guys, and welcome to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast, where you will be inspired, encouraged, and transformed with powerful teachings and real stories of mental health. This podcast is not a substitute for counseling. If you are in a crisis, call or text your local crisis center or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Jesus is in our mental health, and freedom is where we start. I am your host, Heidi Mortensen, licensed marriage and family therapist. Get ready. Today's show's going to bring you hope. Hello, and welcome to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast. I am your host, Heidi Mortensen, licensed marriage and family therapist, and I'm really excited to have with me Demonte Edmonds. Hello, Demonte.
Hello. I'm excited to be on the program and to share with the listeners.
Yeah. So you are an author, prophetic minister, and you really travel the world and have written a lot of books. Today, I'm really excited to talk about one of your recent books, which is called The Supernatural Dimension of Dreams. So we're going to be actually diving into this topic and talking about this, and even like kind of what does this have to do even with our mental health and how God can actually speak to us through our dreams, that there can even be unprocessed trauma that we need to deal with. And God reveals that. So often we kind of ignore our dreams or we think they're weird, but no, we need to pay attention to them. So I'm really excited that you wrote this book and excited to talk about this topic.
Yes, you know, it's a powerful topic because whether you're a new believer or the most seasoned saint or even an unbeliever, dreams are a universal language that the Lord uses to communicate with his children primarily, but also those that he's inviting into his kingdom. And I write this in the book that they're treasure chests of wisdom and revelation. Each time that God gives you a dream, it's a treasure chest that you can reach down into and pull and extract so much from.
That's so good. Oh, I'm so excited for this. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do and where you're from, and before we dive into this.
Okay, cool. So I'm from Virginia. I live in Atlanta. We've been here for about 3 years. The Lord told us that we were supposed to relocate and set up shop here. I've been married for 14 and a half years, almost 15 years, to my lovely wife, Jessica. We have four small kids ranging from age 10 to 3. I've had the opportunity or privilege to pastor for a number of years. And then the Lord released me to overseeing and planning churches, itinerant ministries. And I've traveled to probably 27, 28 nations, primarily working with leaders in those nations to help equip them to take the gospel forth with power, seeing many deliverances, miracles, signs, and wonders. I got stuck. It's funny because this is Charisma Podcast Network. Charisma Magazine did an article on me several years back, and they gave me the title The Miracle Man. And then CBN ran with it as well. So we see a plethora of creative miracles within our ministry. Just recently in one meeting, we had 9 limbs grow out, 9 legs, and 6 people that had metal disappear from their body. And there was a doctor present, chiropractor, that verified those things. So we really believe in revealing the reality of Jesus Christ and that he's alive, he's real. And whether it's prophetic ministry, whether it's deliverance, whether it's miracles or preaching, we just want to make Jesus more real to people and to the world. And so I'm excited about this season. And yes, the Lord's allowed us to do some great things, but I believe that greater is ahead, not only for us, but for the body of Christ. And I'm blessed to be on your show today.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you. And for anyone who's listening, who's a little bit skeptical about that, that's okay. Like, God is okay with that. And I mean, I think this is why some of the reasons why he said these signs will follow them who believe. And so even sometimes he would use the miracles and people would then believe after that, that they would see it. And I think God's still doing that today. Like, he's still the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we kind of drum up things and try to explain it away, but he's God and we're not. So I'm so thankful that you're going after that and God is moving through you the way that he is. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your book and how God talks to us in our sleep, and how do we know if it's God and how do we know if it's ourselves? Kind of give us like a, maybe kind of a dream 101 interpretation for those of us who don't understand.
Okay, so I'll tell you first that the book came after I was praying and I was asking the Lord what to write on next. And the Lord said dreams. I was really shocked. I thought he was going to have me to write on some other prophetic topics because I know there are many dream books that are out. But I've been an avid dreamer since 4 or 5 years old. And it's been just a natural part of my life. And so there's some experiences and some encounters that the Lord has allowed me to have over the years that just gives somewhat of a different perspective or angle in storytelling on dreams that come from God. And so I wanted to write this book to help enhance people understanding that God desires to speak to you in the night. Not only speak to you, but the subtitle of the book is How Understanding How God Works While We Sleep. Because sometimes in the prophetic dream world, we just focus on the revelatory part, but the Lord can bring healing. He can unravel parts of our soul. I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I'm not going to jump too far ahead. He can impart things to us. There's so much he can do in the dream world. But I tell people to start here. We all need to understand how to discern the source of a dream. And that's what you're talking about when you spoke about how do we know a dream comes from God? That's a great starting point, because if the dream's not from God, then there's a different response that we're going to have than one that comes from God. So the first thing that I look for in a God dream is stickability. Stickability means when a dream comes from God, there's something about it that just lingers with you, just resonates with you, just sticks to your spirit. The Bible says this in Daniel, that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and it troubled him to know the dream. Now, the dream didn't trouble him. He was troubled to know the dream. He was stirred up to know the dream. That's the second thing as well, that God puts a desire for you to understand the dreams that come from him. And that's a lot of times where people miss it, because they will get lethargic or lackadaisical about even attempting to discern what God is saying in a dream. And then the third thing, often dreams that come from God, they give you hope. They build your faith. They reveal things about the future that's positive, and they encourage you in your spiritual walk. And so those are some of the key indicators that I look for those dreams that are coming from heaven.
What about, so then I've also heard that dreams are either from also from your soul, so they're soul dreams, or maybe sometimes we'd call, if you could explain what pizza dreams are, if that's a thing or if that's not a thing,
Yes.
or if it's from the enemy. Like, how do we know then if it's our soul or if it's the enemy?
Okay, so we do call some of those soul dreams the pizza dreams. And what I found out is there's a real science behind it, because certain foods release certain chemicals and hormones into our body. And so a lot of the activity that's taking place is neurochemical type of interactions. For instance, when people unfortunately have used LSD or psilocybin or these crazy mushrooms, it breaks down this chemical brain barrier. And now they begin to see in the spirit realm, and they get demonically tormented. And so foods do that at a low, very lower level. So the tomato paste, the acidic foods, the spicy foods, they actually, like the spicy foods, actually prevent you from getting into a deeper sleep, because what happens, your body temperature drops as you go to sleep. And for you to get into a real good rest, your body temperature needs to drop. But spicy foods actually elevates your body temperature a little bit. And so it just affects this whole sleep pattern. So some dreams can be the result of what you've eaten, but also what you've allowed to get into your ear gates, your eye gates. You've been watching too much horror movies. You've been watching, too much news channel stuff. And that can get into your soul. And so you have to guard your eyes and ears. And those things may not be bad for you, but you have to do all things with some type of balance and some type of limitation to it. Even strolling social media, you don't want to do that for 8 hours a day, because then that filters over into your dream life. So there are dreams that do come from the soul, and then there's dreams that just strictly come from the enemy. These are dreams that are meant to oppress you, steal your joy, steal your peace. Some people call some of these dreams nightmares, where you're getting chased, you're being tormented, you're being tortured, you're reliving these horrific moments, or you're being taken into just strange places and seeing strange beings. Some of them can be nightmares. But the dreams that come from the enemy, I want to say this, they don't add any value to your life. They do the opposite of the God dreams, and they normally leave you with an icky feeling. And also, you will normally feel a sense of fear, a sense of loss, or a sense of anxiety after these type of dreams. And you need to rise up and take authority through the word of God, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And don't allow the enemy just to drop these nasty dreams on you. Do something about it. You have power through the word of God.
Yeah, I think that's where I hear some people is they'll say, I had this really scary dream, And then they just stay in that place of fear. I think many people don't know, like, that we actually have authority over this. We can do something about it. So if somebody does have a dream where they are left with fear and they're confused and they're afraid, what, like, do you have like a suggestion of what they can do? Like, what verse could they declare and, fight with if that happens?
Well, as a young person, I had a lot of these bad dreams, and just telling the devil to stop, just say, using the name of Jesus, just start there with the name of Jesus, say, in Jesus' name, I command you, devil, to stop giving me these dreams, and you do not have access. Just disallow him. Lord said in Matthew 18, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you allow on earth will be allowed by heaven. So some things we just have to disallow it. But a very powerful verse is found in Timothy where it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, sound mind. And so we have to say, I've not been given the spirit of fear, and I commanded to leave in Jesus' name, and believe that God's going to back that word because it's in scripture. I try to keep it very simple and practical for people because there are many people, when they get attacked with a dream or they see something in their bedroom, they're not going to remember five or six scriptures. They're going to need that one thing that they can really use to hammer away at the
That's
enemy.
a good, that's a very, very good point. So could you
Yes.
talk a little bit about what that was like for you as a kid and how did you overcome that yourself? Like, I think of many people like who where this happens to, and even you saying to call out the name of Jesus, you had to know that there was an enemy. You had to know that you could fight with Jesus. I feel like there's a lot of people that don't even know that you can, like, I've just talked to people that don't even believe in the power of the
Wow.
gospel, or they, and again, they might not be saved. So again, we're talking different language, but yeah, talk about how you overcame that as a young person.
And okay, so that's very powerful. So what began to happen some nights, I would need a nightlight in the room. I would have some type of fear because I knew that at certain times, I was having these dreams every night, and I just think the enemy discerned the calling on my life. But our family knew about Christ, knew about the things of God. To some degree, we grew up pretty traditional, not super spirit-filled. And I just believe that Jesus was real. I just believe that Jesus would protect me. I did read the Bible, even as a young person here and there, I had a kid's Bible. And what I found out, I had these nights where it felt like something was suffocating me or trying to hold me down or trying to press me into the bed. And I couldn't move my arms, my legs, my head, or say anything. And when I would try to speak, I would only hear the words in my mind. It wouldn't come out my mouth. But when I call, see, this is what I realized too. There's many people who in their head don't believe on Jesus or God, but when they get in real trouble, they call on God because God's
That's
given this
true.
desire and reality of Him in their spirit. There's people I know who have been in war zones. They never believed in God. And all of a sudden they begin to pray, God, if you get me out of this war zone, I'll do this, that, and that for you. So I think it's not so much that some people don't believe in God. They just need to see the reality of him once working for them. And then what's in their spirit connects to, the reality of Jesus. But in this instance, when I would call on the name of Jesus, at first it would be a struggle to get it out. But as soon as I get it out of my mouth, Jesus, whatever demonic dark power was trying to hold me down, oppress me, ride me, would break instantly. And I knew then that the powers of darkness had less authority than the name of Jesus, and that name had some backing behind it. It had angels behind it, the Holy Spirit behind it, and the kingdom of heaven working behind it. So I discovered that at a very young age when I was having these encounters that some people call sleep paralysis. But in my book, I write about that it's actually sometimes it can be blood circulation, but oftentimes it's a demonic spirit that comes to oppress a person. And I think that's how sometimes we have sudden infant deaths, where the child's just fine and all of a sudden they pass away. That's why we need to pray over our children as well at night. Pray over babies at night. Pray over them in the hospital because there are demonic spirits that roam around and they look for people that are vulnerable.
Wow. Yeah, again, you're just awakening the power of prayer and just having God be the authority of our life. I'm going to just read a part of your book here on page 61, and it's a chapter where it says dream but discern. So I just think this is really important. So you say dreams with reoccurring themes scenery, or messages often are the byproduct of unresolved soul trauma. And trauma is a defensive mechanism in our body in response to overwhelmingly negative events such as domestic abuse, molestation, witnessing violence, and the sudden death of a loved one or divorce. Because our core personality is formed during childhood, trauma that happens during this period often has the most impact on shaping our worldview, values, behaviors, reactions to situations, and such. Traumatic events that happen in childhood are embedded within our memory. This is so good. If left unresolved, I mean, this is literally what I do. I help people with their
Wow.
unresolved trauma. So I'm like, I like starred this section. If this is left unresolved, they not only may affect our behavior and our emotions, but also will reveal themselves through our dreams.
Yes.
This is
Yes,
so
it is.
good. So I got a couple questions about this.
Okay.
One, those who are listening, pay attention to this. Like, if you're having these repeated, unresolved soul dreams, how do we pay attention to this? And then what do we do about it? So if we found out that there's unresolved trauma, what do we do? Like, how do we create some movement so that this trauma can be healed? Or do we invite God into our dreams? Or, what do you suggest that we do when we can identify I've got some unresolved trauma that's being revealed through my dreams?
Well, I think the first thing is to sit down with a pen and paper and write out the dream and figure out what parts of the trauma or what parts of your life the Lord is trying to highlight to you through this dream, or that your own body, your own subconscious is bringing to your attention that there's some pain there. There are some unresolved issues there, and figure out and pinpoint the root of it. We need to get to the root of it as much as possible. And sometimes that takes a third party like yourself. And even many times it takes a third party, actually. So find out what the trauma is, get to the root of it. And what's amazing, there's been individuals that I've ministered to, and the Lord would show me, whether through a dream or vision or word of the Lord, that they went through this, that, or this at 5, 6, 7 years old. And they'll say, "No, that never happened to me." And as we keep talking, I remember one young lady, she stopped and said, "Well, actually, it just flooded back into my memory. That did happen. And it wasn't by the power of my suggestion. It was suppressed as a defensive mechanism. You know, the body goes into these defensive mechanisms so people can survive and they can function, they can go about their daily activities. But sometimes these memories are suppressed into their memory bank. And so it's coming up and it's filtering through these dreams. So you need to be the one of the first things as well is overcoming denial. Just like in the grief process, or in the process
Good.
of a person breaking from drug addiction, crack cocaine, heroin, you know, they'll say, "No, I don't have an issue. You're spending $300 a day and you're breaking into cars and climbing up to people's second bedroom houses, stealing their purses. You have an issue." And
Yeah.
you really cannot get help if you're in denial.
Right.
And I
Right.
want to say this: there are some people, their entire life is in denial. They need to realize that they need a savior. That there's a savior that died for them, that shed his blood for them, and that they're in need of a savior to forgive them of their sins, but also to help them on this journey of life. And so that's the first thing, is overcoming denial and then beginning to bring these things before the Holy Spirit and say, "God, what do I do with this? Where do I take this? Where do I go next?" You know what the Lord normally will do? He will give you something in the word to minister to that area. But then ask the Lord for individuals to help you
That's
navigate
good.
through this and to be healed. Because often with trauma, it causes the lenses of your life to be colored by the
That's
trauma.
good. That's so
And so
good.
it's hard for you to even see clearly for yourself because you're seeing through these colored lenses of trauma.
Yeah.
And so until you're de-traumatized, you really cannot see clearly truth. And that's why it takes the Holy Spirit and some third parties. It could be your pastors, your leaders, maybe somebody that's discipling you.
Yeah.
More and more, I have been referring people to certified, licensed, spirit-filled, spirit-led Christian therapists and counselors. I realize there's a great need for the wisdom I don't want to say the wisdom of the world, because it's not the wisdom of the world. It's actually the wisdom of God that God has allowed through academics. Just like
That's good.
the medical field, they
Good.
actually say when you study Joseph, that was the prophet in the Bible. When you study who he was in Egypt, he actually as well invented all of these medical procedures and medical stuff that God gives wisdom in so many different areas. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit, but we also need the wisdom to go at the power of the Holy Spirit to bring healing. The Bible says Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. And so we need both the wisdom of God and the power of God. When they come together for you, there's going to be a total rejuvenation of your person and transformation.
That's so good. Wow. I mean, just even what you're saying about the lens and how that like clouds us. I have a question for me that's not about dreams, but I know you do deliverance. How do we know when it is like, I'm just asking you because you've done this so much and you understand this. How do you identify the difference between if it's something demonic or if there's trauma? Like, what's your kind of discerning like filter for yourself as a pastor?
So, that's a very good question, because sometimes the behaviors are so similar between somebody that's demonized or demonically influenced and somebody that's traumatized. But often what happens, the demonic spirits use that open door of trauma as an entry point and as a gateway. And so, and the behavior of trauma mirrors the behavior of demonic so strongly. But for most of the time, what I begin to do is just begin to minister to the person.
Yeah, that's good.
And if there is a demonic spirit present, I will normally begin to feel some type of kickback, pushback, resistance that's not necessarily coming from the person, but it's coming from something in them that I can tell that's not consciously them. And then I'll begin to address the powers of darkness. And if there's a response, often I know that it's the enemy. Now, there have been individuals, I'm praying for them and laying hands on them, nothing is happening that I can see, that I can discern or see. And I said, Lord, what's going on here? All of a sudden, Lord opened my eyes and said, say this about this particular area. And when you hit that particular area, the Lord shows me an older, and like I'll see sometimes, this happens a lot, older man standing over you, and the Lord says that this relationship with your father, where you felt abandoned and rejection, and he never was around, this and that. And then they just break it, cried, and demonic spirits just begin to leave. But anything else I said before that, it was almost like I was talking to a refrigerator. But when you touch on that threshold of trauma, which is a lot of times the open door for the enemy comes out of that door because you just blew the door open by the power of the Holy Ghost, by
That's
the
good.
flash of it. The enemy comes out, and now God can put his healing balm in.
Good. That's so good. Thank you for that.
Bless the
So,
Lord.
yeah, I mean that's definitely the Lord. So you minister to the person. So we kind of talked about like what you can do when you're kind of having these repeated dreams and you think that it's a soul dream. So what can you say to those of us that are like, I still don't know, like what if people are not like, how can we awaken a dream life and how can we start diving into learning more about interpreting and just living a lifestyle of letting God move through us in our sleep and our dreams. Like what's kind of the next step?
So the next step is this: increase your expectancy that God's going to give you dreams and give you some good dreams. So several of our friends, and even today, I just literally hung up with a young man, and he says, since I read your book, my dream life has just exploded. Several of my wife friends just reading the book, because it creates an expectancy when you think about something. It just and it's, you know what expectancy is to a degree? It's faith. Because what you're
That's
putting
good.
out there is, Lord, I'm believing that you're going to give me this. And the Bible says we have not because we ask not. So your expectancy is an ask from your heart. So have an expectancy. Don't pressure yourself that you have to dream every night. Make it fun. Find a way to record your dreams, whether it's an audio recorder, voice notes on your phone, pen and paper. I keep up with my dreams. I have them typed up. Not all of them, but the ones that really, I want to pull some key things from. Make it fun. Make it part of a dialogue and two-way communication with you and God. Be excited about the dreams. I found when you're a good steward of something, you're excited about what God's doing with you, he will increase it. And so just have fun. Just rest in the Lord, but ask the Lord to give you those dreams and have a great expectancy that he's going to give you the dreams and he's going to hit you with them.
Yeah, so expectancy, then record it, write it down. I have a notes in my phone that I have, like, literally record them over and over again so I can count. And I put the date, I put the day, and I also put the time. I
You
also write those things down as
sound a
well.
lot like me. I wish I could
Oh.
grab one of my journals. Literally, that's the way that I put the date, the time, and
Yes, like,
I don't have it with me. But I also put, if it's for somebody else that had a dream about me, I put their name as the person that had it. So, yes.
Okay, let
And
me
when you
just
have,
kind of, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
no, I was gonna say that makes it exciting because sometimes what happens, you're praying about something. Like one time I was praying about something a few months ago, and the Lord said, go back and read your journal from this date. I said, okay. And it was an answer to my prayer that was already in a
on.
dream
Come on.
from a year before.
So good.
So, yes. So some of those dreams are not for the now, they're for the future.
Perfect.
And you're going to
Okay.
need them later to understand what's happening, what's unraveling, and also to unlock new doors and opportunities.
Yeah, that's so good. So can I just kind of go off the cuff and ask like a couple random
Of
questions and
course.
like, okay, so what I've heard is that most dreams are usually about ourselves. Sometimes we think like if we dream about a bunch of people or a situation, we think it's about that, but it's actually a symbolism about us. Is that true?
I would say that probably the majority of dreams are about ourselves, yes.
Okay. And then just kind of classic, like if we dream about our teeth, is that about wisdom?
Often teeth
Chewing on
falling out,
something.
teeth falling out can often be the enemy wants to bring some type of public humiliation or misfortune. Misfortune.
Okay. Yes. And what
Yes.
and then dreaming about either being naked or somewhat naked is transparency. Is that
Transparent, yes, transparency, and also can deal with, depending on the context of it, is being exposed, being put to shame. If it's in the workplace and you're naked, then that means, maybe something with a manager where you have problems in the workplace and you get in trouble. But also could deal with the Lord really dealing with some deep parts of healing that have been untouched or left unhealed for years, get into those deep areas. So it could mean something on either side.
Okay, ex-boyfriends or girlfriends, something old that God is wanting to reveal that's in the past. Is that it's not necessarily about that person that you like them, it's something in the past.
Yeah, now this is a good one. I love this one, Heidi, because many people have a dream about an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend, and then they try to reconnect with that person. And it causes havoc in their life, and it's worse the second time around. I have this personal belief. If it doesn't work the first time, it's a higher percentage it's not going to work the second time. And if it didn't work the second time, just leave it alone.
Yes.
But it also
Yes.
could deal with soul ties that needed to be renounced and dealt
Oh, that's
with
good.
in the spirit realm because there are many people that are praying for a husband, they're praying for a wife. Ooh, this is a good one. I was praying for a young lady one time. And I said, as I was praying for you, I saw you praying for your husband in the closet. You literally were in your closet praying. And I found out she prays in her closet, literally.
Oh.
And I said, but I saw a chain attached to you. And at the other end of the chain was this young man. I described him. Well, he was a young guy that had been interested in her. And he was praying that she was his wife. And so his prayers and her claim on her in the spirit realm were hindering her from moving forward to find the right person. So we had to denounce that and break that. And
Wow.
yes.
Wow.
So seeing an ex could be maybe you need to get rid of some pictures, some a gift they gave you, maybe some words that
Good.
you know, people speak this, I love you always, I'll be with you forever. It's nobody else for me but you. See, the enemy can use that. You just gave the enemy legal right. It may have been,
Good.
nothing to us. But those demonic spirits can grab that and say, okay, you say you'll be with nobody but him. So now I can legally block your blessing in the spirit realm.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
so good. Okay, one more. When we're falling down or flying.
Okay, so let me take the flying one first. So flying could be dealing with overcoming circumstances and situations. But if you go into the Caribbean, you go into Africa, flying could deal with that you could be under the attack of witchcraft. It could be, it could actually be that they're trying to bring you into the witchcraft realm or witchcraft in your family, because you could be doing astral travel and not even know that you're involved in this type of stuff. And Ezekiel talks about this. I'm against those that hunt the souls to make them fly and tie handkerchiefs on them and put stuff under their pillow. He talks about this in the word, that there was a practice of occultism that people would hunt for souls that had openings, that had witchcraft in their lineage, and try to make them fly, meaning try to move them into being into witches almost over time, because they would begin to astral project and stuff. So it could be something good, positive, which in the more so in the Western Hemisphere is going to be good. When you get into all some of these bloodlines and backgrounds and nations, it's something a little darker. Falling, that's rarely a good one. That could be dealing with pitfalls that you're going to encounter, or having a season where it feels like the bottom's falling out from under you. And if you have a dream about falling, begin to pray, pray, pray that the plans of the enemy are stopped, and decree this: when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord's going to raise up a standard.
This is so
Yes.
good. This is so good. I would love it if you could pray for us, like pray for our dreams. And because you are the miracle man, I forgot about that. I do remember seeing you on the cover of
Oh,
Charisma. I would love it if you could just pray. Like, I mean, because you're anointed, God's moving in and through you, and He's called you. And I would love it if you could just release what God, like just your giftings and what He's doing in and through you right now.
amen. Well, Father, we thank you for Heidi and this broadcast. We thank you for Strong Tower Health and we mental health, and we thank you for the audience, for the listeners. We pray, first of all, Lord, that there would be a wave of your spirit that would go out, oh God, and just do a purging for us. Purge us of all those areas of our heart and our mind and our subconscious, Lord, that there's this spiritual junk and this junk from life, Lord. Just do this purging, Lord, so that the light of your gospel, the light of truth can come in, that we would truly walk in the kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. That we will have peace like never before and joy like never before, oh God. And Lord, ask that you would begin to activate the realm of dreams and the realm of divine understanding in the night hours in our lives greater than ever before. And I pray for the listeners, Lord, that those that have been having dreams that have been plaguing them because they feel like they don't have the insight or understanding, release, Lord, that Joseph, that Daniel anointing, God, that they'll be able to not only discern, but understanding the times and seasons and messages that you're speaking to your sons and daughters in the night. I bless them with that wisdom, and I bless them with that divine insight in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. And
Amen.
how can we, our listeners, get a hold of you? What is your website? I know you can get your book on Amazon. It's called The Supernatural Dimension of Dreams. But
Yes.
where else can they find you?
On Instagram or on Facebook, both are good. They can put in my name, Demonte Edmonds, or at Demonte TV. The
So
at sign with Demonte.
I'm gonna spell your name for those who are listening. So it's DEMON TAE, and then Edmonds is EDMONDS. And then what about if somebody wants to try to see you live? Like, are you on YouTube? Can they watch sermons? How could
Yes.
somebody listen to you or
Our
watch you?
YouTube page is D4TN. So it's youtube.com and then /@D4TN. D the
Okay.
number 4TN. They can see sermons, some miracles, some deliverances, some interviews and clips all up there on that page.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on. This is a huge honor.
Thank you so much for having me, and blessings to all the listeners.
Thanks for listening to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen. Your review helps the show reach more people and spread mental health awareness with Jesus at the center. You can also check me out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or my website at HeidiMortensonLMFT.com. See you at our next episode.